So welcome to week two of our series called Established. And so last week we learned that if we want to be established in God, we need to know God. Last week we talked about knowing God. That knowing God means to have a relationship with God. That knowing God leads us and is eternal life. And if you really paid attention last week, eternal life is not just for someday in heaven, but eternal life is for here and now in this world, on this planet. If you're going to be established in God this week, we're going to learn that we need to learn how to hear God, that we need to be listening and hearing God. I have a clock radio. It sits on my bedstand, and it basically wakes me up every morning. But my clock radio is unique in that it's old. And unlike current brand new radios of today, you know, radios are all digital. Think of your car radio, it's probably digital, unless your car is 20 years old. But my clock radio is got that old-fashioned dial. And it's got a long strip with the numbers, and numbers are the different frequencies. In case you forgot, your radio stations are really frequencies, and your radio tunes in to certain frequencies, correct? And so I have a knob, and if you're familiar with those old radios, or you still have one, you'll know that the markings were never dead on, were they? That you had to slide the slider over, you know, so, you know, 690 is the sports station. No, it's not. It's 590. 590 is the sports station, and so that's usually what's on. And you have to slide the dial, and then you turn it on, and you have to listen. You got to play with it a little bit, right? You have to tune it in. See, because all through the airwaves, there's all kinds of things being broadcast that you and I aren't even aware of. So right now, you know, if you had a transistor radio, you can tune in and you can pick up all different radio stations right here in this room. You know, plug your headphones in, pretend you're listening to me, and you're not. You're listening to the radio. But you tune into the frequency. Right now, I'm speaking to you through a microphone that's got next to no wire on it other than this little one, and because it goes to my transistor. And in another part of this room, there's a receiver, and the receiver's picking up the frequency from here. And they're tuned in to the same frequency to work. And sometimes when we get static in our electric systems and our microphones that are wireless, it's because something's interfering with the frequency, that it's not tuned in. All through your life, God is speaking to you. The question is, are you tuned in? Are you tuned in? That's what we want to talk about. Because God still speaks today. But we need to learn how to tune in to God's frequency. And so I want to share with you some ways this morning where we can find God's frequencies. And so if you have your Bibles or your device, or you're already got on a YouVersion on our event, you could follow our teaching notes there. Just two simple verses from John chapter 10 this morning. Maybe you know them, maybe they're brand new to you, but listen to verses 27 and 28. It says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life." It's picking up where we were last week. "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." And the beginning is, "My sheep listen to my voice." In this passage, Jesus is saying, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." You can paraphrase this as, "My sheep listen to my voice. They know me and they follow me." In this verse, Jesus makes two things really, really clear. And I want you to make sure you've got them. That Jesus is the shepherd. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you're the sheep. Again, Jesus is the shepherd. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're the sheep. If you're just checking Jesus out, you're not a sheep yet. You've got to decide to be a follower to be a sheep. A couple of things I want you to take home from this morning is, God wants you to know his voice. God wants you to tune in. God wants you to make sure you get the right frequency of his voice. See, because sometimes we think Or maybe you're not familiar with church, or you're not familiar with the Bible. Maybe you're not familiar with really God, and you're sitting here this morning with all kinds of questions on, like, who is God, and where is God, and does God care? I mean, so many times I think we have wrong pictures of who God is. Some people think God is just the big guy in the sky who just kind of watches everything and he doesn't want to get involved. Some people think God is laryngitis because he's not speaking to me. God's got laryngitis and he can't speak. Some people think God is hiding from them. He's like, where's Waldo? Or God's playing hide and seek, you know. If you look really, really hard, if you pick up all the right rocks, you might find him. God's got none of that. God's nothing like that. See, the Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. God doesn't do those things. God speaks. The problem is we don't always listen. God speaks. The problem is sometimes we have not tuned into the right frequency. That we haven't tuned ourselves to hear what God is saying. So God is speaking. We just need to learn how to tune in. I want to preface everything I'm about to say with something that's opposite of what I'm about to say. So follow me. You'll get this. God has some general ways he speaks to us. And in a moment, I'm going to take you through a couple of those. But I need to start that by saying God is God. And we need to stop keeping God in our box. So I'm going to share with you about three general ways God still speaks to us today. But God could still move outside that box. And I think of Old Testament stories. God spoke to Moses from a burning bush. If you don't know the story, Moses was a shepherd out in the fields all by himself with the sheep. And out in the distance, he saw a bush burning. And when he went over to investigate, it was on fire, but it wasn't consuming. It wasn't burning, you know, like a log on the fire. It was roaring, but the bush was fine. And when the fire left, the bush was harmless. But God spoke to Moses from that bush. There was another time, there was a guy named Balaam who was being disobedient and not hearing God. And God got his attention. How? He was riding a donkey, and the donkey spoke to him. And God spoke through the donkey. There's another time there was a king called Nebuchadnezzar. And he was far from God, not even looking for God, not even caring about God. But God wanted to get his attention. In the middle of a banquet that he was throwing, a hand appeared and wrote a message on the wall. Now I say all that to say God is God. God can get your attention any way he wants. Hopefully not through a donkey, but if he wants to, he can. Not the writing on the wall. Maybe, I know, burning bush. Man, that would be so cool, wouldn't it? I'd love to see a burning bush. But I've noticed another thing in the Bible. Those things also only happened once. They're not the things that we live our life by. God, I'll only if I get a burning bush like Moses will I know you're real. God said, I gave you Jesus to know I'm real. So God could speak to you any way he wants to speak to you. God will get your attention because he knows how you're made. God knows how to get your attention so that you could hear him. But here are some general ways that God speaks to all of his followers, all of the sheep. First one I want to draw your attention is 2 Timothy 3:16. It says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. By the way, in righteousness means the Bible teaches us how to live for God. See, if you want to be a follower of Jesus, you have to live the way Jesus tells you to live. What? I thought, you know, I come to church, I put $5 in the offering plate, and I'm good for a week. I do whatever I want. It's not what the Bible says. To follow Jesus means to be a disciple of Jesus. To follow Jesus means you live by the way Jesus tells us to live. And how do we know how Jesus tells us to live? We have the Bible. Because the Bible tells us so. We hear God through the Bible. It's really simple. It's really basic. See, the Bible is God's love letter to us. The Bible is the gospel message. The Bible is the good news. The Bible is the story of God's love for you. The Bible is the story of God's forgiveness through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you. The Bible is your guidebook. The Bible is your rule book. The Bible is your instruction manual. Are you getting the picture? The Bible. God speaks to you through the Bible. This is our greatest source of hearing God's voice. That's why we spent 5-6 weeks at the beginning of the year talking about praying first. That's why I gave you a lesson on how to read the Bible using soap. Somebody tell me what S is, please. O. Observation A, application P, prayer. You put those four things into practice as you read the Bible every day. You will begin to hear God speak to you. God speaks to you through the Bible. Every other way God speaks to you will always be in line with the Bible. So you know, if you wake up one night and if you wake up one morning and you go, I had this dream and God told me to go kill my neighbor. You go, wait a minute. The Bible says, love my neighbor. I know he's driving me crazy. He takes his snow and always throws it from his driveway to my driveway. But God told me to love my neighbor. So, you know what? Next time I'll get up first and I'll throw all my snow on his driveway. No. I'll get up first and I'll shovel both driveways. Whatever God says to you has to line up to what the Bible says. See, as you get into God's word gets into you. As you take time to do soap every day, as God's word is put into your spirit bit by bit by bit by bit over the course of time, and I'm not talking 10 years, talking weeks and months, you will begin to understand God's word. And you'll be able to have an understanding. You don't get it all at once. It grows with you. You didn't start first day of math class and you learned long division. You started with addition. And your teachers brought you up and God's going to bring you up bit by bit. But we hear God through the Bible. Proverbs 13:20 tells us another way that we hear God. It says, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. How many of you have teenagers or had teenagers? How many know that when your teenagers get the foolish friends, you have a troubled teen, right? And you thought you were so smart because you figured it out. But God told you a long time ago, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You see, we hear God through godly people. It starts with the Bible. The Bible is the foundation. But when you got a question, when you don't know what to do, when you're faced with tough choices and big decisions, sometimes you need to seek out some godly counsel. Now the key word here, in case you missed it, is godly. 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 How do you know who's godly? Godly, somebody who reads the word continually. Godly, somebody who knows the Father's heart. Godly. Somebody who regularly attends church, doesn't show up once every 3 months. Godly. Somebody who reads the word and knows the word. Somebody who's been walking with God for a little while. Not the new believer, but a seasoned believer. Godly people. Truth is, if you look hard enough and you search enough people, you'll always find somebody to tell you what you want to hear. But a godly person will tell you what is right to hear. If you go to 2 or 3 godly people and they all give you the same godly advice, and you go, that's not what I want to hear. Like, I want to hate my neighbor. I want to throw all my snow on him. And you're telling me to love my neighbor? I don't like that. I believe if you look hard and ask enough people, you'll eventually find the person who tells you what you want to hear. And you're going to fool yourself. You're going to say, ha, you know, 14 people didn't agree, but this one did. It's like the internet. You can go search and Google the internet for what you're looking for. And if you look hard enough, you'll find something stupid. You go, oh, there, it's on the internet. It must be good. Not all knowledge is good. Not all knowledge is right. Not all people give godly advice. So you got to find godly advice. Then there's another story, and I love this story. It's a story in 1 Kings chapter 19, and verse 12 says this. After the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Some of your Bibles say a gentle whisper. Now let me tell you about this story. This is a story of a prophet named Elijah who had just come from great victory on Mount Carmel and defeated the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel said, I'm going to kill him. And he ran for his life, literally ran for his life. And he wanted to die. God sent him to the mountain of God. And God said, I'm going to speak to you. And so this verse here is kind of the end of the story. And what happens in the story is Elijah goes into the cave. I'm not sure how long he was there and if he was praying or seeking God. And he was probably calling on God. He was complaining to God, I'm the only good prophet left. They're all dead, which wasn't true. But sometimes when you get placed in a place of despair, sometimes when you get in that place where the life just seems difficult, you don't see the reality. And God kind of said, what are you doing? Oh, I'm the only one left, all the prophets. God showed him later, you're not the only prophet. There's 450 other prophets. There's companies of prophets. You're not alone. You're not alone this morning. No matter what you feel, no matter how low you might feel, it might be a difficult day. You might be going through a difficult season in your life. You might be facing challenges you never dreamed you'd be facing. I want you to know you're not alone today. You sit in the company of sheep this morning. Anyways, back to Elijah's story. And so God's going to speak to him. And so we're told the first thing God sends is this ferocious wind. Like it's a wind so powerful that it crushes rocks. And Elijah's listening. And the Bible says God wasn't in the wind. And then God sent a fire. You know, the fire of God. Oh, God's got to be in the fire. God's always in the fire. The Bible says God wasn't in the fire. And God sent an earthquake and the mountain trembled. And God wasn't in the fire. And that's where we read this. And after the fire, a still, small voice. A gentle whisper. See, we hear God in the still small voice. What is that still small voice? I believe it's the Holy Spirit. Elijah lived in a different time. We live in the time after the death and resurrection and ascension of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. He is our counselor. He is our friend. He is our check. I don't mean the kind you write to the bank. I mean the kind that says when you pick up that snow shovel and go, this is going to my neighbors. You get that. Go, what? Is that how you love your neighbor? Yeah. No. Now I'm going to tell you something that's very dangerous here. You can ignore the Holy Spirit so far that you will become mute to him. In other words, he will speak, but you will not tune in. That happens when you repeatedly shut him down. So what am I saying? Don't ignore the gentle whisper. Don't ignore the still small voice. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's that little nudge in your heart. Sometimes they're great things. It's like you're driving to work one morning and God says, pray for. Why? Doesn't matter. Just pray for. Sometimes it's that still small voice that says, I want you to do this or go there or say this or do that. It's that still small voice. Don't ignore the still small voice. Again, the still small voice must always fall under the scripture. This is the authority for our lives. This is God's word. God's still small voice will not negate what his written word has already told us. It may bring richness out of it. It may bring depth out of it. It may bring an understanding out of it, but it won't oppose it. So if you get a still small voice that sounds like it's not in God's word, go back to the word and start over. Go back to the word. Go back to godly counsel. Go back to the still small voice. As you begin to listen to the still small voice, you will tune in finer and finer and finer, and you will be able to hear it clearer and clearer and clearer. God wants you to know his voice. Another thing is you need to know the shepherd. Remember our opening passage, Jesus said, I am the shepherd, the sheep know my voice and follow me. I know them. Now, when Jesus was talking about shepherding to the people he's speaking to, they understood what a shepherd is. We live in the big city. We don't know what a shepherd is. We think we know. And what we think we know is what we know in our current culture, in our current day. I mean, from what I understand, you know, shepherds go out in large herds and they use dogs and horses and they push the herds and they push the sheep and they push them to where they have to go. But in Jesus' day, shepherding was totally different. Jesus said, I know my sheep. In the Middle East of Jesus' day, shepherding was not done with horses and dogs and pushing. Shepherding was done by the shepherd knowing the sheep and leading the sheep. That's why Psalm 23, that famous psalm that David says, he leads me. The shepherd leads me. Jesus is our shepherd. He leads us. So this is what a shepherd in Jesus' day would have done. When the sheep had a baby, a lamb, they would take that lamb and they'd put it on their shoulders. And you've probably seen a picture of this. You know, usually it's a picture of Jesus with a white fluffy little lamb. Takes the lamb and the shepherd would carry that lamb for a few days. Every day that the shepherd went out to take care of the sheep, he'd pick up that lamb and he'd put that lamb and he'd walk around with that lamb for a few days. Why? So that the lamb would get to know the shepherd. The lamb would begin to recognize the voice of the shepherd. Maybe the smell of the shepherd. I know the shepherd got the smell of the lamb. He'd do that for a few days. And after a few days, when it was enough time, he'd just put the lamb in with the flock. And a shepherd in Jesus' day would go out in front of the sheep and just call out and speak, and the sheep would follow him. We need to know the shepherd. We need to hear his voice, recognize his voice, and follow his voice. See, to recognize God's voice, you have to spend time with him. The lamb spent time with the shepherd. And we need to spend time with the shepherd who is called Jesus. The more you spend time with the shepherd, the more you'll recognize his voice. The more that you stay close to the shepherd, the more you'll understand his scent. As you put this into practice, as you spend time with the shepherd, now the Bible begins to become more clear. Godly advice begins to make more sense. And that still small voice becomes more and more clear. Following God in the simple things will help you hear for more specific things. There are simple things that God asks all of the followers of Jesus to do. So if you're in this room today and you associate as a follower of Jesus, if you're in this room today and you say, I know Jesus. Jesus is my Savior. I've given my life to serving Him. Then these are the simple things that God asks all of us to do. Pray. Pray first. Pray every day. Pray isn't so much a ritual as it is understand His presence. We are visited with a magnificent presence of God this morning, and that's kind of our training ground on Sunday. When we understand His presence here, when you go home, when you go through the week, when you go to work, when you go to school, you begin to recognize that presence of God with you. Pray. Read the Bible. Not just Sunday morning when I say open your Bible too, but every day use soap. Attend church consistently, regularly, more often than not. Be in church. Why? Because it's good to be with other fellow believers where we can learn the presence of God. Go to a small group. You're not in a small group. What are you waiting for? Like, seriously, what are you waiting for? There is no better place than to understand living and following Jesus than in a small group. We have all kinds for you. If there's not one that fits your need, talk to us. We'll make one if we can. Because it's important that we connect with people and connect with God in small groups. Because more life happens in a small group than anywhere else. It's life change. Those are the simple things. And when we follow God in these simple things, then it's easier to hear God's voice for the more difficult things of life. Like if we're clued into the Word, and if we're clued into this presence, if we're clued into church, if we're clued into a small group, if we do all those things regularly, when the big storms of life come, you have an anchor to hold on to. When those specific things that you need to hear God for, things like, my marriage is difficult. It's like, I don't know what's happened. It's like, we don't know each other. We've grown apart. You can go back to the simple things. You can go back to the Word and back to the presence. See, what has God got for my marriage? See, because God designed your marriage. He's got the blueprint. Everybody goes through tough times in marriage. Because marriage is hard, it's tough, but it's doable. And God's got a blueprint for it. Children. Oh, they're so cute when they're little. And then they turn into teenagers. In fact, it doesn't even wait till they turn two. When kids turn two, they have two favorite words. No and mine. Right? No, and mine. What is it? It's a selfishness. And then they turn into teenagers. And it's funny because when they're 12, they think they've learned everything. Amen, parents? Man, when they're 13, they know it all. And when they hit about 24, give or take, it's like, oh, wait a minute. The old man isn't that stupid after all. Right? God, what do I do with my teenager who doesn't want to listen, who doesn't want to go to church? See, if you do the simple things, if you read the Word, if you pray, if you go to church, if you're connected to a small group, you'll find the things you need. You'll hear the voice of God in the Bible. You'll hear godly wisdom in your small group. God didn't give us the simple things because, oh, I'm just trying to fill your schedule with religious stuff. He's trying to give us the tools that we could live everyday life by. Maybe you don't know what to do with your teenager, but your small group can pray for your teenager. Every week they're going to check in on you. How'd it go when we prayed last week? No change? It's okay. We'll pray some more. If you have teenagers, you know that it doesn't turn around overnight. Unless that God sends a burning bush or a donkey or an earthquake. But God works on their hearts as you dig into the Word, as you dig into prayer. as you dig into fellowship with believers, as you seek godly counsel. Pastor, my finances are a mess. What does God say about your finances? You ready for this? Give me the tithe first, and I'll take care of the finances later. And when you withhold the tithe, you withhold the blessing. Now you've got to do it in the right spirit. It's not, well, God, here's my 10%, bless me. No, it's God, here's my 10%, help me. Ooh, got quiet. Well, nobody likes when you touch the wallet. Jesus, how could I live as a witness for you? You understand? These things of hearing God's voice isn't a religious thing. It's practical. It's where the rubber meets the road, as they would say. What do I do with my job or my career? What should I study if you're a young person? What should I do from my career? Is it time for a change? God, can you open a right door for me? As you hear the voice of God, He will lead you and guide you and direct you. Would you stand with me as the worship team comes back? God is still in the habit of speaking to His children. It's not a Moses thing. God is still in the habit of speaking to His children. God still speaks today. The question is, have you tuned in? Are you listening for God's voice? Have you tuned the dial? Have you found the frequency? The frequency starts with the Word of God. Tune in. And when you hear God speak, here's what you need to do. When you hear God say something to you, first thing you need to do is you need to listen. See, hearing and listening are two different things. Hearing, you recognize His voice. Listening, you pay attention to what He says. And when you listen to what God says, the next thing you need to do is obey quickly. Not, well, God, give me a year and I'll dwell on it. A year might be too late. When God speaks, listen and obey and do what He says. We encourage you to come back next week. We're going to talk about serving God. How is it that we can serve God? Seek us to be established in God. We need to know God. We need to hear God. And we need to serve God. And serving God has some practical outlooks to it. Would you close your eyes and pray with me this morning?